At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. We listen deeply and take the time needed with each and every patient. We work together to develop a plan that fits into each patient's life and helps them to feel better faster. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, whether you're on your way to work, rocking a baby, or taking a stroll. We want to come together and learn about using a new healthcare approach that focuses on finding the treatment for the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. All right, welcome to today's Table Talk podcast. I'm here with two of our pharmacists on the Farm to Table team, Dr. Megan Morrison and Dr. Nicole Grams. And we are going to hit on so many things today, really focusing on what we call nutrient depletion. So I am going to let Megan start off by introducing herself and also give you a little rundown of what that means to have nutrient depletion.
Hi, happy to be back, Melody. My name is Megan Morrison, and I am a pharmacist in Texas, San Antonio, Texas. And I love to talk about gut health, especially, and women's health, and just overall wellness, living a low tox life, if you will. And like Melody said, we are going to talk about nutrient deficiency today. And let's start with the basics. What are nutrients? So our bodies need nutrients to maintain life. They provide nourishment for growth and life, and they're essential. And so the big nutrients, there are six of them: fat, carbohydrates, and protein, which we've probably all heard of, but also vitamins, minerals, and water. So like I said earlier, nutrients play just such a big role in maintaining our health and also preventing and treating many serious diseases.
Yeah. And I think the big key here is that there's like these macronutrients and then there's micronutrients. So we have the big macronutrients like those proteins, fats, we need them for the energy cycle. But if we look at the Krebs cycle, which is our body's energy cycle, we actually have all these different inputs where we need these micronutrients to convert those things that we're eating and the macronutrients into energy. So when we get down to the basics of energy in the cell, we actually produce what's called acetyl-CoA, and we use that for energy. And there's different types. So we can convert fats, because we talk about the keto diet and people are getting energy produced from their fats. And that takes different types of nutrient inputs than maybe converting carbohydrates into energy sources. And I think one of the things we talk about a lot is that our nutrition in the United States is depleted. So the soil is depleted. We don't have enough, you know, magnesium in the soil. There's not enough zinc in the soil anymore. There's toxic things in the soil that are causing our body to use up certain nutrients more quickly because it's trying to get rid of those. And the liver might be working extra hard, not trying to get rid of those things, or we've got those toxins blocking particular sections of the Krebs cycle. So one of the coolest things I think in functional medicine is that we actually have a test that is called the NutriEval, and it can look at all these different pieces. So it shows you on a piece of paper what your Krebs cycle looks like and shows you if you have mercury blocking certain parts of this energy cycle, or you have a lack of zinc that you're not getting this energy cycle moving as well as it should. So that's really important to being able to evaluate someone's energy. And, you know, fatigue can be a symptom. I know Nicole wanted to talk a little bit about symptoms. And a lot of times when people are nutrient depletion, we see fatigue in certain things. We see immune system function not working as well when we're lacking certain nutrients. Nicole, do you want to talk a little bit about some other symptoms?
Yeah. One of the nutrients that I tend to talk a lot about, especially on social media, is magnesium. There's so many people in the United States and probably worldwide at this point, we can probably generalize worldwide. But magnesium is something that if you don't have an optimal level of magnesium, you're going to start having leg cramps. You're going to start having migraines. Your mood's going to tank. There's so many different things, and sleep is going to be a problem. There's so many different things that this one nutrient, this one vitamin mineral can help you with. And that's why it's one of my main go-tos. What symptoms are you having? Okay, a lot of them are lining up with this magnesium. Let's consider this. Vitamin D is another one. You need it for everything in your body: mood, immune system, gut function, all of it.
Metabolic, everything.
Yeah, everything. There's so many different symptoms that can happen if you're deficient in one nutrient or another.
Yes. And I think I may have said this before on the podcast, but vitamin D, it's so essential. And I just get so angry when I think about this whole approach to the pandemic and that we have all this data that shows that vitamin D deficiency impacts your immune system. Yes, it doesn't mean that if you're vitamin D, have enough vitamin D, that you're never going to get an infectious disease. But we know that severe outcomes are correlated with severe vitamin D deficiency. So if you haven't had your vitamin D level checked, and you really need to think about that. I check patients all the time in Ohio. Every single one of my patients, if I'm running labs, gets a vitamin D level. If they are not supplementing, no one, not a single person has an adequate level of vitamin D unless they are taking some kind of form of supplementation. I realize some states you may be able to get sunshine more often in the year down in Texas with Megan, but a lot of times, even then, like you're indoors working, you're working out indoors, you're
sunscreen.
You know, putting on sunscreen when you go outside, that's blocking the vitamin D. And so in our modern life, we're not getting enough vitamin D exposure. Certainly you can go outside and sit for 15 minutes a day as much as you can. But sometimes in the cold winter, we're not exposing enough of our body to even make the sunlight. And then there's also genetic reasons why people don't produce enough vitamin D when they actually do have the sunlight exposure. So because it plays such a huge role in all those things that we just mentioned, we want to make sure that level is adequate. And speaking of vitamin D levels, we also know that what our guidelines are for the United States, as far as the level that we should be at, is generally set pretty low. So the deficiency level is less than 30 nanograms per ml. And we know from a lot of our research and other functional medicine integrative providers, even there's a guy named Dr. Hollick who writes all of these papers on vitamin D and does a lot of vitamin D studies. And he would suggest that we need, for optimal health, that we would get levels closer to maybe 50 to 60. And maybe there's times with autoimmune disorders and other things where higher levels are even appropriate. I think my last level was in the 70s and 80s, it's a game changer for not getting sick as often. I know before I would get sick at least a couple times a year. My hormones were a mess. I had really long cycles, never had normal cycles. And then that was one piece of the puzzle, but getting that to an adequate level has really been a game changer for preventing all the upper respiratory tract type infections that go around, especially when you have toddlers or young children in your house, bringing them home. But speaking of that concept of optimal versus deficient, I think is really important to understand too, because we have these guidelines, we have recommended daily allowances that are recommended by governmental things. And I think those are our minimum, like this is the minimum amount of nutrient that you should get in a day. But there's also, we have overt deficiency. So one example is like vitamin C. If we are deficient in vitamin C, if you are overt deficiency, like you are sick with scurvy, like sailors that were on boats and didn't have any fresh fruits and vegetables, like for months, they got a condition called scurvy. Now, most of us are not in that situation. I don't know that we ever see that really anymore, unless you're on a boat somewhere for a long time, but we can still have less vitamin C than is optimal for our bodies to function at the optimal level. And so that's really where we have this area of like nutrient depletion or lack of optimal nutrients. And so there's bar where the middle is, you have this optimal level, you have a little bit below that is like suboptimal, we have overt deficiency, but then on the other end, we do have the potential for toxicity with nutrients. So we're not saying that you should go home and take a bazillion milligrams of vitamin C all the time. There are studies that suggest 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams a day is appropriate in acute situations when you're sick with a cold or flu, but probably more like 500 milligrams a day is appropriate for normal wellness type preventions, unless you're targeting for some other therapeutic cause. But any thoughts on that, guys, as far as dosing of nutrients or how you determine you should be evaluating if you have symptoms? What is your approach for determining, is it a nutrient depletion playing a role?
I want to take a step back real quick. Yeah. And forgot to mention something that's super important.
Yes.
And Melody hit on it, but we get these minerals and vitamins, like these nutrients from food. And so that's where we always want to start, especially in functional medicine. We want to start with food. So eating fresh fruits and vegetables, high quality meat, if you're a meat eater, but making sure that 75% of our plate is fresh fruits and vegetables. And If we're doing that, we shouldn't really be having any of these scurvy or beriberi, like these overt right. deficiencies. But there are other reasons why we might be deficient. So medicine, certain medications, especially a lot of the popular medications, can deplete nutrients. Stress, which, you know, is huge. Mm-hmm. I think everybody has some level of stress. And so stress can deplete those nutrients. Chronic disease, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, really any kind of chronic disease can deplete nutrients. And then just our lifestyles and environmental exposures. So it's important if you're one of those people, if any of those things are going on with you, then definitely you're going to want to be evaluated. And functional medicine, we have a lot of tests that we can do. And maybe your conventional doctor, some of them, I went to a conventional doctor and had my nutrients tested. I think I did SpectraCell, which is one of the ways you can get some of these nutrients tested. Maybe you don't even have symptoms. You just want to feel better. Like you maybe you don't have, chronic disease, but you just want to optimize your health and feel your best. And just simply, obviously, food first, making sure your diet is on point. But then even just supplementing, if you need one or two or three certain minerals, vitamins, that can really help you. It can go a long way.
Yeah. And I would say with the conversation about eating the nutrients, obviously that's important for many of them. We can't get much vitamin D from diet, but the digestion piece and like having optimal digestion, like we can take in nutrients, but if you're not breaking them down and you're not absorbing nutrients because there's damage to your small intestine or large intestine, then we have challenges. So we're not going to be getting those optimal. So I think that's obviously the gut is what we talk about a lot in functional medicine. And so optimizing your digestion is a part of even addressing those nutrient depletions too. So you mentioned SpectraCell is one way we can evaluate. So that's one test that looks at these micronutrients. We also work with a company called Vibrant Labs or Vibrant America. They have another test that can combine some of these nutrient evaluations also with some nutrigenomics, which is looking at your genes and actually seeing, are you more prone to certain deficiencies based on your genetics, which is a different way to approach it. And sometimes in functional medicine, I tend to be more like, I just want to know what's happening now. Are you deficient? Are you not deficient? Do we need to supplement? But I think sometimes that nutrigenomics piece can pull in, is this something we have to supplement for a long time? Because is our body designed not to absorb as much iron or absorb as much of a certain nutrient compared to just, okay, I need to replace this nutrient and then I'll be okay. But we could talk a little bit more about specific nutrients or specific drugs that have depletion. Nicole, do you want to talk about magnesium and maybe some of the drugs that deplete magnesium and where you see really that playing a role for patients?
I guess I was going to go more broad of, like statins specifically deplete CoQ10, which is essential for energy in your body. So as you age, your CoQ10 levels naturally go down. And if you have a statin on board, it's actually blocking yourself from making that. So that's something that you want to look at supplementing.
Yeah, and CoQ10 heart-wise, like such an important nutrient, like it actually can, a lack of it can affect your blood pressure as well. So people's blood pressure can go up. And I find people can be depleted in CoQ10 before you actually experience some of those symptoms of side effects of statins, like the leg pains and things like that. And even I've had some post-COVID patients that have really done well increasing their CoQ10 afterwards, just to help with that energy and mitochondrial, you know, dysfunction too. But go ahead.
Migraines can also have a big, CoQ10 can play a big role in helping to relieve migraines, especially if you haven't been able to figure out what's going on and it's not just be less stressed sort of. PPIs like omeprazole or the Prilosec, those sorts of things deplete nutrients because it's affecting your stomach acid, and you need stomach acid in order to break things down in your body, in your digestive system. So not having that acid doesn't release the nutrients from the food and it just goes all the way through you. So it can affect your calcium levels. And there's basically an endless list from those types of drugs.
Go ahead.
Birth control is another one that so many young women are on, and you're not told about B vitamins and how it depletes B vitamins, because your liver is processing these kind of fake hormones that you're putting in there. And it's trying to treat it like a toxin, and it's using up all kinds of nutrients to get rid of it from your body. And it does have some benefits that, you know, people still choose to stay on them, but you want to be on at least a B complex and more likely a multivitamin with those sorts of things. And it's just not something that's really talked about that much in conventional medicine, in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we were just talking about that. I was talking to a group. There's a group called Beauty Boost in all over the country in different places, but just talking about how a need to like educate women on the hormone imbalance piece, because certainly like some people need to use them to prevent pregnancy. And we understand that, but we also have now people that have been on them for 30 years, maybe they go on it when they're a teenager to control their cycle. And then they've been on it for a few decades. They have kids, but then they get back on it until menopause. And just, we don't really have data for 30 years of use of these oral contraceptives. And Nicole mentioned the nutrient depletion piece that comes with that could be a big player in not having optimal health. We don't necessarily have disease-related connections to them, but it's really like what we talked about before, it's not necessarily that we're having a disease because we're lacking these nutrients, but we might not be able to feel our best, have the most energy, have optimal hair and nails and all of those things if we don't have those B vitamins.
I feel like that's a good, I know you've touched on like deficiency versus sufficiency versus optimal.
Yeah.
But I think the way that I look at it most of the time is the guidelines tell you how much you need in order to not have it. It's like putting enough gas in the car to get where you're going, but you can't go anywhere else.
Yes.
But if you want to go on that long road trip, you have to have more gas in the car, and you also don't want it to be overflowing. You don't want to, you don't want to be wasting it and causing issues that way. Yeah. But having that optimal level is going to be more important for most people than not having a disease. Where you start to actually feel really good.
Exactly. And then with that same analogy, like the premium gas versus economy gas, like what you're choosing to put in also makes a difference in how, like the longevity of your car or your body. So we have things we can buy, supplements off Amazon or at Walmart or wherever, but you have to make sure that those are quality. And unfortunately, the US, we don't have a great process in the US for doing drugs or very different as far as how they're assessed and checked for toxins and things like that than the nutrient supplement industry. And so you want to make sure you're working with a company that has screened and made sure that exactly what they say is in the capsule is in the capsule. There's been numerous studies where things have come off the shelves and they have not had what they say they have in them, or they've had extra things in them. And that doesn't even include some of these toxic type things, because a lot of the raw materials have come from overseas. And that's why you've seen shortages and things over the last, you know, couple of years. But definitely working with a provider to help determine like the best options. And we have our supplement box. We have other things. If you're just looking for individual things, we can help you determine that you're taking something that's a quality product and you're getting what you think you're putting in your body. But yes, we want the nutrition piece too, though. We're not saying that you should just supplement because you can't out supplement a bad diet. We have to have the foundations of a diet. But we also know that unfortunately with the stress that we're exposed to, we deplete. B vitamins are a big one. Megan mentioned stress, but B vitamins are huge for getting depleted during stressful experiences, and magnesium as well, like Nicole mentioned. So those things are huge for, if you are experiencing stress, your adrenal glands would appreciate a little extra of those. Sometimes we can't eat enough foods. Like for example, broccoli, there's an ND that works for one of our companies that does some hormone evaluations. And she posted the other day about like how many cups of broccoli you'd have to eat to have this estrogen detoxification effect compared to the supplement. And it was like 3 or 4 cups a day of broccoli that you'd have to consume. And I think most of us like broccoli, but we're probably not going to consistently eat 3 to 4 cups a day.
Definitely not.
To get those nutrients. I mean, I love it, but that would be like probably, and you would be so full that you couldn't eat anything else. And then you'd be nutrient depletion for other reasons. But so that's a good, we have to realize sometimes that if we're using something for a therapeutic purpose, we might not be able to get enough from the foods. So other thoughts, we can talk more about a little bit about other drugs. So we talked about PPIs, which the proton pump inhibitors, like Nicole mentioned, decrease acid. They're often given for heartburn, but I've had patients go to the ER for nausea and they get prescribed a PPI. And then, you know, they are on it for years and they never really even had heartburn. Or they were in the hospital for something serious and they got it for what we call stress ulcer prophylaxis, where they get it to help prevent a bleed while they're in the hospital. And then again, they are on it for a really long time and never really have heartburn. But I find most of my patients that come to me on a PPI have low iron. And that's a really easy blood test that your providers can check on a regular labs and checking a whole sort of anemia panel, including iron and ferritin, and your iron binding can be really important. There's some misinformation out there about, I got into this conversation on Facebook yesterday, and I was suggesting that someone check their child's iron because their child was having trouble sleeping, and sleep can be related in kids, especially. Iron deficiency can present as restlessness, similar to the adult iron deficiency presenting as restless leg syndrome. And sometimes people have trouble sleeping as well when they have restless leg. But she was like, oh, I don't think I want to give my kid iron because I believe we have too much iron in this country and we have iron excess problem. And it's okay. We may have iron excess in certain individuals that might be over supplementing or eating processed foods that are iron's added to, but my kids don't. When I checked their ferritin, they were like in the teens and they should have been in the 50s to 80s. And as soon as we started replenishing their iron, they started sleeping better. And your genetics can play a role in that. You know, my husband's family is all iron deficient and he had to take iron as a kid. So likely they're just poor iron absorbers, and that can be a genetic thing. So that's where some of the nutrigenomics can come into play as far as how do you optimize your health for some of the long-term. But I think that's what we have to realize is everyone's an individual. While there may be, and I think iron overload is probably more of an issue for men than it is for women or children as well, because they're not cycling and losing blood and things like that and creating new blood all the time. So that's a whole nother discussion. But the important piece is just that you're an individual, and what's going on with someone else might not be exactly what's going on in your body because you have a different diet, you have different genetics, you have different things coming in and out. And it's important to be able to assess your situation and know what's going on with you and realize that some of these symptoms may be connected to some of those nutrient depletions. But other drugs that are common, and we talked about magnesium a little bit, a lot of blood pressure medications and like diuretic medications can deplete magnesium. And magnesium is in, I don't even know how many cycles, thousands, probably hundreds. I don't know how many cycles there are in the body. I should know that, but there's a lot of cycles in the body as far as energy cycles and different things that happen with magnesium depletion. You can get muscle cramps. Nicole mentioned migraines. Anxiety can be a big symptom, the energy piece, and even heart palpitations. People can get arrhythmias because their magnesium is out of balance. And certainly that's more of a severe side effect if you have severe deficiency or even too much is something that can happen. And depression, osteoporosis, magnesium is important in the bone. And so we want to make sure that we have enough. And then even blood sugar. So a lot of these nutrients can be connected back to metabolic syndrome. That's one of my areas of expertise, but the zinc is another one that if we have studies of patients with prediabetes, and we're actually going to have a blog post on this soon, but prediabetes patients tended to have low zinc levels. And when they got supplemented with zinc, there was actually less. So like 25% of the patients in the non-zinc group progressed to diabetes, and only 11% of the patients that got the zinc supplementation actually progressed to diabetes. So it just goes to show that there is an impact. There was decrease in blood sugar. There was decrease in what we call insulin resistance. So the body's response to insulin. And there was even decrease in inflammation when the zinc was added, which that blows my mind. Like zinc is involved in so many processes in the body, but that you can actually decrease your inflammation by using that. And when we think about, there's certain drugs that can deplete zinc, not as common of a depletion as the ones we talk about with magnesium and CoQ10, but it can happen. And certainly even magnesium, like we mentioned, is connected to heart disease and things like that. But common, the one that we don't talk about a lot from a drug nutrient depletion standpoint is NSAIDs. So NSAIDs are those common ones that we see on the shelf, the ibuprofen, the naproxen. Oftentimes people that have chronic headaches take a lot of them. Chronic pain can take a lot of them, especially if they're not getting that treated. And even if they are going to the doctor, a lot of doctors are prescribing them now because they're trying not to use opioids for pain. But those can deplete folic acid, which is one of those B vitamins, can deplete melatonin, can deplete that zinc level, and then also can even affect hormones. And not to mention the damage to the gut, and trying to look for other ways to treat pain can be really important. And then did you want to talk about metformin? I know we mentioned that. Megan, did you have anything you want to say about?
I don't have anything real in depth, but a huge one is B12. Metformin can deplete B12. And The B vitamins in general are just such an important group of vitamins. And a lot of times if you are on metformin, and that medication's often used in diabetes, pre-diabetes, but you'll want to supplement with either a B complex or just B12 in general.
There's some studies that talk about the folate depletion too with metformin. So the B complex wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these that we're talking about are, they should be safe for most people, but it's always a good idea to talk to your doctor or a functional medicine provider, even your pharmacist at your pharmacy, just to see, make sure there's going to be no interactions and make sure it's safe for you. So we always don't stop a medication if you're worried about nutrient depletion. It's, and maybe don't start a supplement unless you talk to your doctor or your pharmacist.
Yes, very important. We are not here to provide healthcare advice. We are here to just give you information that you can use to discuss with your healthcare providers. But we will share a protocol that has a quality multivitamin in it on our website after this is released. So you'll be able to check that out. And generally, these drug-induced nutrient depletions can be remedied with a high-quality multivitamin that has the minerals in it. But sometimes if you have more, a lower depletion of those nutrients, we may have to supplement with those individually. And that's really where a meeting with a practitioner and getting labs assessed can be really helpful. Also to target your diet around. We have nutritionists that we work with on our team as well, and being able to take that information and build the diet that's going to support those nutrient depletions, but also address maybe the diet's not enough, especially if we're taking some of these drugs that are going to be an issue. And of course, as pharmacists, we know a lot about drugs, and we know sometimes they're needed, and sometimes we can get them, decrease the use of drugs by using these lifestyle modifications and looking at functional medicine approach. Is lifestyle is huge. People, even yesterday, someone was like, what do I do about my insulin resistance? It's, well, we have talked about this a lot, and we can address this with diet changes. We can address this with exercise. I think that's a piece sometimes we don't talk enough about. We talk a lot about diet, we talk a lot about other things, but exercise is a huge piece too. And so anyways, but we're not trying, I just want to make sure this podcast comes across that we're not like, take all these vitamins, because that's not necessarily what we mean. We want to recognize that symptoms of not feeling, not thriving. If you don't feel like you're thriving and you are tired and you're having headaches, you're sluggish, you have constipation, those kinds of things. If you have muscle fatigue, like there's could be a lot of things going on, but certainly addressing nutrient depletions is a great place to get started. Any other thoughts that you guys have before we close for the day?
Yeah, I was just, as you were saying that, it sparked like the standard response that I hear a lot is all my labs are normal, but I feel like crap.
Yes. Right?
I feel like, well, normal labs don't test for any sort of nutrient issue, almost none. It might be a nutrient deficiency, or like you're just not at your sufficient level. Mm-hmm. And that's what's causing you to feel like crap and feel run down. And normal blood tests are not going to test for that necessarily.
Yeah. Yes. But be your own advocates too. If they can throw on a B12 or a vitamin D level, folate level. Some physicians don't want to order a B12 or a folate until they've seen an effect on the hemoglobin, which is one of the blood cells that they check for. But sometimes the B12 and folate can be suboptimal before it has an effect on that. Sort of like when we talk about thyroid, there's other labs that can be wonky before the TSH is affected. So again, back to this, like what we feel is optimal versus what the standard is, because the standard is based off of thousands of patients that were not diseased. They didn't have a disease, but they weren't necessarily having optimal health either. And so that's definitely something to think about. Awesome. Well, thank you ladies so much for joining me today, and make sure you check out our website at farmtotable.life, LIFE, and farm is with a P, and we hope to see you next time. Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, Farm with a P, and on Instagram at Farm to Table Team.